It's one of them that goes over your ear. You're trying to imitate these TV preachers. You're trying to be somebody. That's what people are going to think. No, I'm not. You know, personally, I don't like wearing anything. I wear a watch once in a while. I don't wear any other jewelry. Yes?
Cameras on this side? So theoretically, you could put it on this side and they wouldn't see much.
But I can't hear out the right because I'm left-handed.
It doesn't matter.
My phone goes here.
Okay.
But anyway, I wanted to tell you, and you can go out to, well, I've got the website, but George, my nephew, he sent me a message. And I've got it on my phone. I've got it switched off this morning. But if you want it, I would need to go out there and look at it just to see what is being said. There's a lady, I'm having to guess, she's probably in her 70s, up in Ogden, of all places, my hometown. And she supposedly died in the doctor's office. And she talked to God.
No.
Oh, yes, she did.
Amen.
And my nephew said, what do you think about that? I said, she's nuts. And you know, what you need to read is the responses. If you've ever been on YouTube, people sign in and they write their response of what they, if they liked it, if they didn't like it, or you're crazy, or you're just wonderful. Of the amount of responses that come back, says, preach the gospel, sister. God was great for you. But, you know, you got to spread this all over the world. Well, there wasn't no gospel there in the first place. Plus, God's not going to come down and speak to you other than in this book.
Amen.
It's what?
Well, on that same note, you know, that they had a 5 or 7 year old kid. They wrote a book because he said he went to heaven and he came back. And they made a movie with it. And then they found out. Went to heaven and he came back, and they made a movie with it, and then they found out he was lying.
Right. It's all a hoax.
It's all a hoax. Of course, the publishers now, I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, the publishers, they're trying to sue the parents, I guess. But anyway, back to this lady. She's sitting in a chair, and it's being recorded, and she's speaking of where she went and how things got dark. Ain't nobody been through that. Okay. But I thought it got ironic. Somebody from Og. I guarantee you, and I don't know one thing about her, she's a form of an Assembly of God or some form of Pentecostalism. Absolutely. And that is, you know, we got some in here within there. But that's the Satan. I'm going to tell you, you see all these Pentecostal churches popping up? That is of Satan. When did it start, by the way? When did the Lord just keep all of those signs and speaking in tongues? When did he bring that back? Around 1901. Azusa Street. What happened to all those centuries in between? Like 1,800 of them. 1,800 years of it. 1,900 years. What happened to all the people then that didn't speak in tongues? My gosh. You know, people are bringing, and boy, that's one of the fastest growing religions there is.
Because they get to participate with their ego and their emotions.
Yes, Bob.
They say, if you don't speak any tongues, it's evidence of salvation.
That's right.
You're not. Which is very ignorant.
That's the United
Kingdom. I've never
said that. No, the Assemblies of God don't do that. Nor does the Church of God. I'm sorry, they don't.
Well, that's the United Pentecostal teaches that.
Okay.
But it is of Satan, like it or not. Now, I want to read something. I want to spend some time on reading. Now, your input is welcome. Then I'm going to hand you a little sheet. But I don't know if you know anything about this. His name is Nick Keziah. And believers, beware of counterfeit King James Bible. You know anything about a counterfeit King James Bible? Here's it. I'm going to read you the majority of this. But you can comment at any point in time. But you need to see who this article is. This article is copyrighted. And I know why it's copyrighted. It's to keep people from changing the things. By Theological Research, a department of the Believers Organization. And he'll give you permission if you want to. Yeah. King James Bible believers are faced with an array of problems today. Would you never dream you were faced with problems out of the King James, would you? Of course, we all know that the multiplicity of all the new modern versions are a big problem, but another big problem is the fact that many of the worldly publishing companies are publishing Bibles and calling them King James Bibles, when in actuality they're not. They're counterfeits. Man, I'm going to tell you, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting verse 13 there, you know, the Satan's got his apostles, his men of darkness parading themselves as what?
Ministers of light.
Ministers of righteousness. So, I mean, we're, matter of fact, Timothy says it's perilous times, and we're there. But because the King James Bible is in the public domain and not copyrighted, you got that, right? Everybody in here knows the King James is not copyrighted. If you have a copyright in your King James, it's not the original. And everybody in here pretty well got one that's got a copyright in it. Why? Because man added something to it. He added a comment. He changed something, yes.
From what I understand, most of the copyrights are the typesetting. The typesetting is copyrighted.
Well, one of the things that is copyrighted is notes.
Right.
Any commentary. Adding anything in it, in that book whatsoever, you can copyright it. And so, but it's in the public domain, and it used to be the largest selling Bible in the entire world. It's not any longer. I think it's second, but it's not the largest selling Bible volume-wise anymore. Then, these worldly publishing companies think they can make minor changes to the standard text, and it's called the standard text, so they can please certain groups, which translates into extra sales for them. And that's exactly what it does. Money. Filthy lucre. That's the way the modern world operates today. All the common, ordinary Bible believer wants is the same Bible that his grandmother had and his great-grandmother, etc. Just give us the text that has established itself as the standard text of the Holy Bible, an old-fashioned, Christ-exalting, devil-kicking, authorized King James Bible. Now, myself, you always wonder why. I got a lot of Bibles, and I got some expensive Bibles, and I got Bibles this and that. But you see what I use every week, don't you? They ain't got nothing in it but the pure words of the Lord. You use what you want. Because I've got those, it's got the wide margins, and I've got them where they got all these additional scriptures in the center and on the sides and all of that stuff. As long as the words haven't been changed, then you're okay to use that. Mine has nothing because I don't want to be led astray by some other man's comment in here. That's my personal thing. To the best of my understanding, Nick says, this is the 1769 edition of the 611 King James, with a few minor printing errors and spellings corrected along the way in 1800s. So if you've got the original King James, it's not the original, but it is the original. It's the 1769 version. Until the 21st century, you can get a copy of it in any nickel dime store. Today, you can still find it, but you must proceed with caution. You'll be hard-pressed to find it at all in any typical Christian bookstore without some alterations to the text. And that's true. You go downtown Pensacola or there. What is that? Is it where old Kmart used to be down there? Close to Pensacola?
Airport Boulevard, yeah.
You go there to that Christian bookstore. You say, well, look, can you show me a Holy Bible? They'll probably take you to an NIV. Really? I've done it.
Roman front. I've been there.
Of course, you go down there and buy your Baptist sermons, a book on sermons. So you don't have to study or do anything. You just buy it. It's an outline. You just teach that for 15 or 20 minutes every Sunday. Did you know you could buy your sermons? Oh, yeah. Yes.
I went into that Christian bookstore that you're talking about, and we were looking around, couldn't find a King James. And they said, I asked about them. I said, where are your King James Bible? Oh, I think we might have three over here.
Now, I'm going to tell you something before we go any further. One of the best gifts you can give anybody is a King James Bible. Mm-hmm. You know, I give Danny one over. He was here. He got saved. But you hear me talk about the wrestler, the 315-pound guy all the time. He's over in West Monroe, Louisiana. And I went by that bookstore and bought one, had his name put on it, and presented it to him. And you know what? He won't write anything in it. I said, it's okay. No, I ain't writing nothing in this book. This is my book. It's the best gift I ever had in my entire life. So people feel that way when you give them a King James Bible. Honestly, they do. So try it sometimes. It don't cost you hardly anything. Get a nice little print or whatever. Anyway, back to what I'm doing. The Bible of our forefathers, which we received through process of time, comes with these, with three specific warning labels. One is near the front, the other's in the middle, and the last one's at the very end. Now, we're going to read them. I'm just going to read it to you. You don't have to go there. But be mindful. When I read the first one, it's in Deuteronomy. It's true, and it's still true for us, but there's certain things in here talking about keeping the commandments of the Lord. It's not for us, but in essence, we do keep the commandments of the Lord. What are the commandments of the Lord? It's whatever Paul told you to keep and do. Trust the Lord that he was crucified, buried, and resurrected from the dead for your justification. That's a commandment if you will, if you want to be saved. You want to disobey God? Go to hell if you don't want to trust him. But that is a commandment of God. Now, warning label number one, Deuteronomy 4:2. You shall not add unto the word which I command you. Was he only talking to the Jews? No. And neither shall you diminish aught from it. Now this is where it deviates in a sense, but you may keep the commandments of the Lord, your God, which I command you. Go ahead.
I want to get there and see if I'm deviating.
Deuteronomy 4:2.
Right.
You shall not add unto the word. How many people have added to the word of God, which I command you? Neither shall you diminish from it. Don't take anything away. Don't add it. Don't take nothing from it.
Did you say from it or ought from it?
Ought.
Ought from it.
Well, yeah. What does yours got?
It says ought from it. You diminish, neither shall you diminish ought.
Yeah. O-U-G-H-T. What have you got?
That's right.
Yeah, but that's going to change in a minute. It is. I'm going to show you where it's at. Now, let's look at the second. Warning label three. See, the whole Bible is written from for you, but it's not all written to you. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. Now, I'm going to stop right there. It's talking about the book of Revelation, not the Bible.
Revelation 22:18.
For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy, key word, prophecy, of this book. That's Revelation. Now, but I believe if it applied to one, it will apply to all of them. If any man shall add unto these things, and we have plenty of publishers and authors that will, God shall send unto him the plagues that are written in this book, in the book of Revelation. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. And we know we're not in the book of life, so he's not going to take our name out. So it's not written as far as this book to us. But we need to adhere to it. And out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Now I'm going to start back reading here. He said, I would like to think these worldly publishing companies are just ignorant to the seriousness of what they're doing. However, in some cases, I'm sure that these deceptive measures are being done with forethought. Oh, you know they are. Satan's planted this in men's minds. You'd make a lot of money if you just change some of them archaic Elizabethan words. Yeah. I had somebody tell me the other day, said, you know, I just can't understand those these thous and those. Well, man, why don't you try? Just ask somebody to explain what those mean. Okay. In other words, they're aware of the warning labels, but choose to ignore them. They have hardened their hearts. Didn't the scripture tell you people would harden their hearts? Not listen to the truth. Against the standard text of the Holy Bible. And as he said, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. It was approximately 6 months ago, this is Nick, I purchased a King James Bible from a popular online bookstore. It was straight text, meaning it had no notes, no references, no helps, and no maps. That's what a straight, standard text King James Bible is. It was just what I wanted. Just give me the Bible, and if I need help with a difficult passage, I'll ask the Holy Spirit for guidance, and that's what you're supposed to do. And I'll check other scriptures for references. Don't get me wrong, he says. I'm not against some of the commentaries and other Bible study tools. In fact, I consider some of them a necessity. For example, a good dictionary. Now, I know what dictionary he's referring to. He didn't say, but that's the 1828 Webster's. But even though you use the 1828 Webster's, and it's online for free, I actually own one. It's about that thick. You can buy it over at Ruffman's Bookstore if you want to buy one locally. How much are they, Joe? 65?
No, 55?
Minus 20%. Why do you get the 20%?
These discounts to us.
Okay. It's just that commentaries, dictionaries, concordances, and the like are the words of men. And don't forget that. And not the words of God. They're not infallible. And that's why I say you really got to be careful. I don't care if it's Webster. I don't care how brilliant the man was, and he was. Does that make him right?
No.
No, it doesn't. He's a man. Therefore, I do not believe they should be mixed together under the same cover and be called the Word of God. In actuality, it is the Word of God plus the words of man or a group of men. In my opinion, this is Nick. The Holy Bible should be just the Word of God only from cover to cover. I absolutely 100% agree with that. That's why he says he prefers a straight text. And anyway, at any rate, I had bought the Bible I thought I wanted. It had been published by Cambridge. Anybody got a Cambridge Bible in here? It's the world's largest publisher. You probably do. I don't know who mine is. Nelson.
I got Thomas Nelson.
Nelson.
World. I got one by World Publishing.
Nelson.
Says they have always been the giant in industry. We're talking about Cambridge. In fact, they're the oldest printer and publisher in the world. They're supposed to be the gold standard for dependability, according to many King James Bible believers. This Bible had a nice black French Morocco leather cover with golden-colored gilt edges. You know, when he's talking about all that gold right through here, probably tabs. He didn't say that. You know, you don't really need tabs if you know where, if you've ever read the Bible much. So, now, it says, it was very popular on the outside, but when I started checking out the inside, I was shocked. This particular edition of the Cambridge Bible that calls itself a King James Bible is not genuine. It's a counterfeit. It's not the Bible of my forefathers. Now, I'm not going to read all of these, but I'm going to read some. Here's some of the changes I located, and actually, I'm going to be giving you... Matter of fact, I'm going to pass it out right now. I'm going to give you another one if I got one. I mean, an extra one. This is just something. Big print, I like that. You can see I hand scribe something on there. I can write, believe it or not. It doesn't look like it. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and hand it. But here's some of the things. I'm not going to read what's in here, but I'm going to skip something, and then I'm going to come on back. It said, but Brother Nick, why get so upset? Why are we King James only Bible believers so upset? He says, these are just minor changes in spelling. Well, maybe they are, but have you never read a little leaven, leavening the whole lump? You change one thing in that King James Bible, you change it. Yes, Bob?
Rat poisons 98% arsenic. I mean, corn. And 2% arsenic.
It'll kill you.
2% arsenic is what kills a rat.
I like that analogy. I like that analogy. Here's what he says. You see, I believe God wrote the Bible through sinful men. Does everyone in here believe that, that everybody that wrote the book, that was a partaker of it, was a sinner? I believe God copied the Bible through sinful men. Yes, he did. I believe God translated the Bible through sinful men. And I believe God edited, or in other words, purified the Bible through sinful men. It's sinful men that wrote this book, in other words, penned it. The Holy Spirit wrote it. So therefore, I believe God gave us the English. The exact words in the exact order he wanted us to have them in. But now people are changing things. If that's the case, then he spelled the words exactly the way he wanted to spell them. And he gave them to us in a pure language. And that language is the standard text of the King James Bible. This Bible has stood the test of time without any editing whatsoever. And this is the... is the Bible the believers, that's his organization, believers organization with God's help intends to preserve for all future generations. Now, here's something that's significant. Beside all this and all them changes, and we'll cover a couple of them, Cambridge has also taken the liberty of making changes. Notice the following, the capital S. The capital S that signifies the Holy Spirit in the word Spirit has been changed to a lowercase s in numerous passages. Now, they didn't do it all the way through because, you know, people would have been screaming. I've noticed all the references on there, and there's not one of them in the New Testament that they changed. But they're all in the Old Testament. So once you get somebody complacent with the changes that you've made, maybe 10 years from now, they'll change some more, one at a time. Okay? The capital S refers to the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Godhead, whereas the lowercase S in the word Spirit could have multiple definitions, and it does now. To change the capital S in the word Spirit to a lowercase is to attack the Godhead. It is. So Cambridge has attacked the Godhead itself.
Yeah, they're right in some places, but I mean, they're wrong in other places. I mean, some of these they got right, and the others they got wrong.
Says, for hundreds of years, Cambridge published these verses with a capital S, but now in the 21st century has been changed. Actually, this is called Standard Text Edition. The so-called Standard Text Edition first hit the market, listen to this, in 1993. Now, we've come across this when we were in Pensacola. I read and I said, this is the Holy Spirit. Somebody says, no, it's not because it's not capitalized. And I don't remember the date it was, but I remember the meeting that we had over there before we left Pensacola. Some Bibles had a small S and some Bibles had a capital S. Was anybody there that remembers that? So I know it goes back to probably 2006 anyway. But this says 1993. But who goes in and checks this S? Anybody? Not in this room, they don't. You might check one or two references. Yes, Bob?
I just found out I got a counterfeit Bible. I was studying all this year.
Is that right?
It's got two words in here that are wrong. It's a Nelson.
Damn. It's being... Look, we're talking about websites on a computer. This new edition is being endorsed by many King James Bible-believing websites. Where you go out there and you're going to a King James website only. And they're throwing something counterfeit at you because it's really not hurting them, you know. Why are they changing it? The right to change it. They're unsaved if they want to change it. Don't tell me they're saved and trusted the Lord. I don't believe it. I do not believe anybody, any publisher, any editor that changes the Bible as you have done so very well for hundreds of years. Now they want to change it. What would motivate somebody to change the Bible they published all these years and just made multi-millions of dollars off it.
I can't believe it's actually happening.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It all just happened so fast.
Yes.
That the number seven is spiritual perfection, right? And the number six is a number of man, right? The word 666 is the son of perdition, the Antichrist, the man. But the number seven, spiritual perfection. Let's listen to that, that you know that. Now, the very first words of this battle of our of O-U-R versus O-R comes when dealing with the begotten Son of God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Wait a minute. I got it. How do you spell Savior?
That's right.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's 7 letters in Savior. Is that right?
Yeah, I don't want.
Yes.
They've changed Savior. I've been seeing this for years. They've changed the word Savior with 7 letters. Spiritual perfection to 6 letters, which is a man. Call him Savior. It's the same. They pronounce it the same. They've changed it. They give us a 6-letter Savior in place of a 7-letter Savior. And I'm going to read what it says. I already knew this. But in Bible numeric, 7 is the number of completeness, purity, and spiritual perfection. On the other hand, 6 is the number of man, which is earthly. Earthly, not heavenly. It's a bad connotation. So, if you believe in Bible numerics, you're definitely going to see the difference. Yes, ma'am.
My dad is also very interested in numerics, but also in words and sounds and certain meanings in sounds. I think it's very interesting there. Savior on the top there is our Savior. You have R at the end of that. And they're taking that out.
And make it R.
Or.
Either. I won't add a word. Either or. But he's our Savior.
There is an, if you study that, there is an importance in sounds and words that make up words. You'll find repetition there.
Yep, and I like it. Now, and I'm going to continue to read what he's got. You know, the 7-letter Savior is the only begotten Son of God, the Lord Jesus. The 6-letter Savior is the Son of Perdition, the Antichrist. He wants to be like the Most High, but not in a good way, but in an evil way. He's not a follower. He's a counterfeiter. Therefore, his final destination is the lake of fire. We all know that. The new versions, along with the New Age movement, and some of the King James Bible counterfeits are preparing the way for this 6-letter so-called Savior. That's the way he will spell his name, Savior. No, thank you, Satan. I'm sticking with the 7-letter Savior as portrayed in the old black book that I inherited from my forefathers. Now, there are many other things going on by the worldly publishing companies. Almost all of them have hardened, and that's what it is, hardened their hearts against the standard text of the Holy Bible. They do not believe God actually had his hand upon it, much less wrote it. And you'll find that a lot of people don't believe this is an inerrant book. So why not change those archaic words? Well, God didn't write it. Men did. I mean, I've got so-called right dividers that tell me this. You know, God didn't do that. Men did that. They treat it as a product of men. That's why they do not hesitate to publish all the different versions, nor do they hesitate to change the old King James and still call it the King James. If a person can't see the fingerprints of God upon this book, then he is either clouded in the, and I don't know what that word is, cavitous, C-A-B-A-S-S-A-S. How do you say that, Carol? C-A-B-A-S-S-I-S. Or he is as lost as a duck in the desert with his head in the sand.
That's easy to understand.
I'm about through with this stuff here. The rules of English grammar may change, but the King James Bible is fixed in a moment of time. And it is. and is unchangeable. This is the standard text, and there is no other. This is the book that spread the gospel, and he's got this wrong because he don't know. He doesn't know how to rightly divide. He says the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's not true whatsoever. It's the gospel of the grace of God. There is a major difference. But everything he's leading up to, it's just like Ruttman, for example, and a lot of other King James Bible experts. They know the Bible inside and out, and they can explain it, but they can't tell you anything about rightly dividing the word of truth. They're lost when it comes to that. They don't know anything about it. Bullinger, I can tell you all these great names of this in the past that are already gone. The fact of it is, we see things now out of the scriptures they never saw. And some of these guys spoke multi languages, had PhDs, THDs. It don't matter what you did at the end of your day. You know, a person can read the King James Bible, study it, and have the greatest education in theology than anybody in the entire world. So, thank God I never went to no seminary, and I would never go to that dead thing. Yes?
The way I believe in 1611, was that God inspired those men to put this together. I'm talking about the King James Bible.
Right.
But we can't even read that. In other words, I mean, the language there is completely different than the language that we have today in English. But it's 1769?
Yep.
1769.
That's what he says. I thought it was the 1789. But anyway,
1789 is when we've got what we've got now. My question is this, is that they polished that book. And this is where where I come in at, is I have a problem with scholarship. I don't like scholarship. I believe the Holy Spirit is the one that does it. So I believe 1611, what about 1789? I don't hear anybody talk about that. I know I've heard about
that. They call it the 1611.
But it's not.
But it had some spelling errors in it.
Right.
If you exactly. Just look at the word love in
polishing. How were those men under the inspiration of
punctuation marks?
Now, like for example, here some of those little changes that you see here, you know, those are minor changes the way I would look at it. But there's the one thing that's not minor, and that's the one that is where they, you know, the capital S versus the small s. But that's major. But my point is, what's the difference between the polishing and what they did in 1689 and what they did here? I see one major thing. I see a non-believer here on when they did the other. But I think that, you know, I don't quite know how to say it right, 1789. How would you say it? Because I believe that they still preserved the word of God in 1789.
Here's what I'll say. This is how I feel about it. I've got the 1611. Right here. But it's the version. It's just like a 1957 Chevy Bel Air, two-door hardtop. And it didn't rust, but all of a sudden, it doesn't look as good as it did before. And now, you put a brand new clear coat on it. It's the same car. It's more beautiful. We understand it. But this better because of those spelling change. It was some spelling errors.
Well, so here's what I'm going to say about that. Is it okay? You call that a version, all right? Going from
the publisher calls it a version. It's the true inspired word of God. It's not a version. It's the first.
Okay, all right. But this right here is not a version because of what they've done. And so, in other words, you want to say it right. In other words, the biggest thing that people are doing is creating versions. I believe in the King James Bible. What I have right here, I believe this is the King James Bible. I believe this is the inspired, infallible, perfect Word of God. I've got in my hand. All right. So, the polishing and change of a word here, there, and yonder, as far as being able to, you know, like what they did, because it really is a version. It's just creating. Put it into our language, but they had to have been under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to do that, in my opinion. So 1789, in my opinion, was they were inspired also to say that. And so this is the...
I would agree with that.
Okay, and it's not a version.
No, it's not. But the publishers put version on it. EC was very stringent about never calling a version, not the King James.
Right.
Yes, Bob.
Can I read Psalms 119:89?
Go for it.
You may have already read it. It says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." So how are you going to change anything?
Well, they
settled in heaven.
But you're right, but they do. They change these things.
Isaiah 48 says, "The grass withers, the flower fadeth, the word of our God stands."
It's just standing forever. That's a good verse. I have thought of that.
And the word of God was established for us in the English language in 1611. Yes, Laura?
Maybe you can help me on the verse. There's something to the effect that it's tried in fire seven times.
Seven times is pure.
Hasn't the King James been changed seven different times?
I don't know if it's been changed seven times or not. You may have a point.
Yeah, I've heard that very same
thing. I'll have to look that up because I don't really
know.
That's a good point. I'm
going
to have to look that up, yes.
Milton in this is back and forth. He uses the little s in Genesis 1 and the next verse. He uses the capital s. So he's
not consistent with what you're saying.
He's not consistent.
Yeah, so in other words, which thing is, I've looked at the seven things that you talked about, and that there's a, in other words, you can pick and choose which is the seven things, because some things,
right.
So I don't really know. But, you know, I personally believe that what we have here is perfect.
I do, too. Why mess with it? It's been settled, and Bob said in Psalm 119, it's been settled in heaven. How are you going to change this S and all these different words? It's been settled.
Yeah.
But I believe when the punctuation marks, the small spelling errors, I believe those men that did that, whether it be 1769, 1789, whatever, I believe they were inspired by God to do it. Because you don't tamper with this word here.
Yeah.
Now, who had a hand up? Yes.
Your list here, you know, a lot of them are just spelling changes, but you got down here in Numbers, reward has changed to rearward. Those are two different words.
Yes.
Re-reward means you reward them again.
Right. Yeah.
Rearward means it's in the back.
Yeah.
So how can they do that?
In Romans 1:16, two different ones. One's earthly, one's heavenly.
Yes. I mean, I've talked to ministers that were steeped in truth. And they understand their Bible, so to speak. And when you start to open up and show them, what does this mystery really mean? Not just that God loved us. Okay, because that's the way they thought it was true. It means it's amazing how occasionally their whole life just but never saw it before. They studied it for years and years and years and years, but they studied on the wrong road. And they just kept going the same direction. You know?
I'm going to tell you about a guy like that in a minute, and I want to recommend him. So hang on here. Talking about the book without alterations, basically the same book that rolled off the press in 1611. Their only difference being it was changed from Gothic type to Roman type, printer's errors, you heard that, printer's errors. Because can you imagine what was printed in 1611? They didn't have spell check. Printer's errors were corrected and spelling was stabilized. The King James Bible is a very old book, and that's what was changed. Nothing else. Now consider this. The scriptures have been translated into over 1,200 languages. A lot of languages. Matter of fact, I didn't know there were that many languages. Of all these, over 800 languages had it translated straight from the Elizabethan English. That's the King James. Not from the Hebrew, Arabic, and Greek. Not from Latin, not from German, but straight from the authorized King James Bible. 800 of those 12. Now, some of these people have learned English as a second language. They're not familiar with these modern Americanized spellings, nor are most of the other English-speaking people of the world. Can you see what God has woven together through process of time? The Holy Bible is from above and is a finished book from God. Do you believe it's finished? These publishers don't believe it's finished, or they wouldn't be correcting it. It is written in a pure language. Furthermore, this language is very peculiar and has been used and still is being used in a very unique way. Now, I want to back... Oh, God, what year was it? Probably about 2004. Me and Brother Moore was up in Birmingham, and I've told you the story before, but I want to tell you it again because of this. We were in a bookstore, and Carol and Bernice walked in some kind of clothing store where they sell jackets. Where was that?
Burlington,
yeah. And so me and EC, first thing he does is hit the Bible rack. So we went over there, and he were picking up Bibles, and he's checking it. And what he looks at is this, Mary Lou. You saw I wrote Luke 2:33, and the real Bible says Joseph and his mother. But the counterfeits, including all the versions, now one of them may say this, but the majority of them say his father and mother. His father and mother. I put that in there myself because I know that to be a fact. You got a Bible, and it is probably not going to be a King James of any kind. But if you find a Bible, it's going to say his father and his mother. So EC was always looking for that. If you'd ever heard of him, he always preached, check Luke 2:33 to see if you've got the real Bible. Well, you can't even do that now. That's one of the things. But he was looking at Bibles. That's where he goes. And I just picked up a Billy Graham Bible. Opened it up to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And it said, in the beginning, God created the heavens, with an S, and the earth. That's a Billy Graham King James Bible. Now, for them to have published that, they had to have his permission to put his name on that book. Just like Jack Van Impey's got a Bible. I know all these, a lot of these TV preachers have got their own Bible so they can feel some pride and importance, and they're nothing. But that's what happened. Now, with that word, heaven versus heavens, and I've taught this, and it's a true fact, the King James Bible has heaven. But that word heaven can be used as a plural. Okay? But you don't put an S on it. You have to study the word heaven to see that it can be used as the first and second heaven. Two, which is plural. But you don't put an S on it. Just thought I'd tell you that. But I wanted you to see Luke 2:33 is a good place to go. To see if there's anything in here that I wanted to. I just wanted to give you these things. You do with it what you want. If you've got a Bible and you like the Bible, if you see some of this capital S and the little, you know, check all these references. They may be more, but check all these references. And like the capital S, because to me, that's a big deal. And, but see, change it in your Bible. That way you don't, if you've got a familiar Bible, and we all know when somebody mentions a scripture like John 3:16 to me, I can see it on the bottom hand left hand side of my page. Okay? That's why I'm still stuck with this one. I'd rather have a standard Bible that's about this big. Now I've got one. But it's so hard to transfer all this stuff. I won't know what page anything is on anymore. And it's not that you plant it, it's just what happens. Brother Moore gave me about three different Bibles, and they're all on different pages, so I don't use a whole of them except at home, you know. In each room I got one, so I can look it up. Now, I want to show you something. Let me find the Bible here. Richard, maybe I misread it, but you didn't seem to think that was a real big deal, except Genesis 1:1, about these words. Well, it's just
the wrong spirit for certain that's doing it.
Right, right. So, but the thing is, if you change just one word, then it may not have a bearing. I'll just use this word right here. Genesis 21:26. Today or today. Well, that don't sound bad. You could go and live with that. But the fact of it is, once you let one thing get in this Bible, it's imperfect with God. Because he said it was settled in heaven. The Lord did. Well, if it was settled, why do you change and take that space out? There was a reason for it to be there. So then it's easy for the next one. And it's easy for the next one. And pretty soon, you've got these thousand, those taken out of it. Yes, Bob?
And it also changes the miracle's perfection of it. Because if you take the word out, make it a little shorter, a little longer, then the numbers change with the count letters and words. You know what I mean?
I agree.
And that changes.
Now, any comments before we go somewhere else?
Yeah. From what I understand, the Elizabethan language was the height of the English language.
Yes.
Right.
So anything changes in 1993 are not going to be better.
No, they're not. You got to believe it's a perfect Bible, and it was perfect when those men of God, some of them spoke 13, 14 different languages, no cell phones, no nothing. They each had their little thing. They went their own ways, and they got back together, even though one or two of them died, and they sat down, and it fit perfectly. If a man can't plan that, we can't even do that in this room. Me and Richard can't even agree on the same scripture, let alone that whole Bible, to put it together in specific sequence. It's just amazing to me what this book is. Why isn't Paul's epistles somewhere just mixed in with the rest of them?
Because they're different.
There's a rhyme and reason for this. It's the Lord's purpose. We don't know.
Why are they right in the middle? Okay.
Right. Because this is a mystery period, never mentioned in Scripture, in prophecy, or anything, and there's absolutely no prophecy taking place now. Now, I want you to go to John. Chapter 3.
And while you're doing that, just to add to what Laura was saying, you know, the English language is definitely degenerating. I mean, whenever we text, do we spell out the word A-R-E? No, we put R. How about you? We put you.
Yep. So, it's degenerative is what it is.
We are degenerating.
I don't text it. What are you talking about?
In 30 years from now, we probably won't even spell A-R-E.
And Dave, when he sends a text, he leaves out a couple of words. I had to send him. He sent me something the other day, and I had to send it back. I said, "You're not going tonight, is that correct?" Just, you remember that?
Just send back a question mark. I get it all the time. Just call.
Our Lord's coming back soon.
Oh, he's coming back soon. Now, in John, I'm going to show you something. I've read about it, but I personally believe this. And I'm going to give you my reason for it. You know, anybody got a regular Bible in here that don't have red letters in it? You got one that don't. Anybody else? Well, mine's got red letters in this one, but my, quote, other Bible, any of me see gimmick did not have red letters in it, I'm going to tell you. He did not use a Bible with red letters. Well, you know, red letters was put into this Bible by a publisher. Why? To sell books. It's all about money. And it still is. It still is today in the churches. Pass that plate around. Don't let them out until we get what we need. You know, that's legal robbery. Now, but they put this in there. And I'm going to show you something. Go to John chapter 3, verse 12. Well, no, let's see. Let's just start in verse 10 and read, okay? In verse 10, John chapter 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, and if you got red letters, this is in red. Art thou a master of Israel? Knowest not these things? John asked Nicodemus. Verily, verily, I want you to see this word I. I say unto thee, Jesus is talking. We speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I, Jesus, have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? I, that's Christ. Verse 13. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he didn't say I, did he? But he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, Christ is supposed to be talking here, which is in heaven. Christ didn't say that right there. It's in red letters. So I be lifted up. That whosoever believeth in him, he could have put, believeth in me. should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in me should not, but oh, he said him. So all of the rest of this is John. Now, I didn't make it up. I just read it to you. You can believe it. You can read it in context and see what you think about it. But why?
It's a whole different text.
There's things that's happened to our book. Now, if anything should be in red, it ought to be what Paul received from the Lord Jesus Christ in Romans 3 Philemon. There's a few things over there. Not much. But see, Paul says, follow me as I also follow Christ. Go to Galatians real quick, would you? I know we do this a lot, but it's important.
Do you think the men, 16:11, when they came together and put the books in the order they put them in any sense of the great mystery period, or they were just directed at everyone?
No, I don't think they had a clue. I don't think they had one clue. What Dave asked was, when these great men of God came, were inspired by the Holy Spirit to pen the King James Bible, that they have a clue about the dispensation of the grace of God, the mystery period that we're living in.
Even ordering the books, probably the break.
Right. I'd have to look at the breakdown, but I'm sure that those men, one or two or three or four, just say 10 of those men, did not have Romans 3 Philemon only. They probably had Galatians and a couple of the others. Maybe he had, I don't know how they did that, but it'd be interesting to find out. But when they come back together, they laid it down and it just come into the sequence and the order that the Lord wanted. It's just an immaculate, amazing book. Yes.
Case in point. You know, a lot of people say the book of Hebrews was one of Paul's early writings.
Right.
If that was the case, it should have been put that before Romans.
Yes, it should have.
But it was put at the end of Philemon. So Romans through Philemon, not Romans through Hebrews.
You know, on that note right there, I mean, we're not going to go in and who wrote that book. Because I know.
Anyway, that's my point.
Some people believe it. It was Paul prior to. You believe it was.
Bartholomew.
But I know who did.
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. I don't have no question about that. I just know he did it. But let's look at something here.
It is interesting, though, that Hebrews is placed in front of James and Peter, though.
Right. It goes with it.
Yeah.
When you're talking about the covenant, you know, the testator had to die. And then the holy priesthood, the Melchizedek, has nothing to do with us whatsoever. Not one thing. Don't try to make it that way.
Yeah, pull the books out and put it together. You got a cocktail right here.
Yeah.
You know, and actually, that, I was going to do that this morning.
It's almost as if they knew that that was not Paul's.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit did.
But pay attention to this 6- and 7-letter word here.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
If nothing else,
I've seen it before.
You go to a dictionary, and I'm not saying that Webster's, but you go to a dictionary, and I've done this because I saw it spelled with a 6-letter way, and I said, God, a spell check did that to me. And I looked it up, and it has the same meaning in a dictionary. But we know when Christ was crucified here, buried and resurrected, that Peter, and this is something simple, this just is normal stuff, Peter was preaching. Now, If I was reading last night, because I know when the body of Christ started. It started with the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9. They're beyond the shadow of a doubt. They're not even in question, okay? But you've got some of these people that are, I think the majority of the people believe it started at Pentecost. Well, I challenge anybody in the entire world to show me where it started at Pentecost. The church was added to at Pentecost. Just look it up. Get Ruckman over there to try to help me with that. He can't, because it's not in the scripture. It references it in Matthew 16:18. He said, I will build my church on this rock. He's the rock, not Peter.
Right.
But anyway, that was on my mind. Now see, Peter, what did Peter know? Peter knew the Old Testament. He knew that there was going to come a time right here. This is different from what we normally draw, guys. Call that 7 years of Jacob's trouble, right? That's all Peter knew. But he thought this was going to happen in his life, in his own lifetime. Nowhere in the Bible is there a rapture prior to the Apostle Paul's, another mystery. The body of Christ is a mystery, never mentioned in the scriptures, anywhere prior to the Apostle Paul. This guy is in the church at Jerusalem. He's not saved yet. But you might as well be, because he endured to the end of his life. Matthew 24:13 and Mark 13:13 is about, there's another one in there that's referenced on it. But he didn't know anything about going up at the rapture. So he was waiting for that 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ when Christ comes back here. At the end, this is the end. The end. Yes, Bob.
That's why they sold all their things and had everything common. They were just waiting.
They were getting ready.
They had no idea that was going to be
happening. Absolutely.
It was looking for times of refreshing at that point.
Exact times of refreshing right here. At the second coming. Now, that's all Peter knew. That's what he expected. It just didn't happen. And you know, over in Acts 11, I think it was around, I don't know, was it 30, 31? Paul, people misconstrue this. Paul and Barnabas took goods, food, money, whatever, to the church at Jerusalem to feed those people who sold all those things, because they realized it ain't coming to an end. And they were starving. There was a famine. They had a guy named Agabus there, and he prophesied about a famine. A dearth, he called it. Same thing, I guess. Mm-hmm. I'll check with Joe on my words. But that's what he expected. And that's when Dave said, you take Romans through Philemon out of the Bible, and that's what it is.
That's right.
That's what it is. So when you put a postponement in there. See, it's impossible. We say, well, all things are possible with God. No, they're not. God can't lie. Don't tell me that. So all things aren't possible with Him. He can't go back on His word. If it is, I'm not sure I got salvation. He may back out on me. No, He's not. He can't. Certain things God can't do. But, right there, something was slipped in, and it wasn't by chance. Slipped in, called the gospel of Christ, with the Apostle Paul preaching. Well, see, Peter was waiting till the times of refreshing of Acts chapter 3, 19, 20, and 21. Right to this point, he expected to endure the tribulation. God give them power to get, and He did for this coming time, to get their heads cut off, to be martyrs, to look forward to dying. But He didn't give us that. He gave us the gospel of the grace of God to trust. Oh man, just think, you don't have to endure to the end, get your head cut off. See, because He knows the frailty of humankind. He knows, God forbid me doing it, but I'm able to do it. Joe might do it. Dave might do it. All of us might do it. Somebody hold a gun on you, some Islamic guy, say, you've got to renounce Jesus Christ. Or you, I'm going to blow you away right now. I'm going to cut your head off. It's going to be on television all over America. You may say, well, I'll do anything to save my life. As humans. Preservation. We want to stay alive. That's why we go to the doctor. We get sick. We don't want to just lay at home. I think I'm just going to lay here and die. I'm going to either get well or die.
It's a guy thing.
Well, it ain't my guy thing. I got you, it is. Yes, Joe.
Dying is no problem. We can open up with that slow torture. That's what we want to do.
That's the guy.
You got that pain? I'll send you some.
So it's kind of my head. I might go for that, but you're going to slowly cut me out.
Yeah, that's something else. No problem.
Yeah.
But see, I got to quit because we're running. But, he didn't know nothing about this mystery period. So he's not in the mystery period. He's not going to be saved in this mystery period. He's not going to go up at the rapture. Why? Because he don't have his salvation. Romans chapter 5, verse 11. We now have our atonement. Paul don't. He's waiting for his right here. And we're going to cover that next week.
This is a great way to bring somebody's attention to it. Why do you think those books were put in the middle of that? You follow me? The traditional religious folks. Yeah.
You just said that Paul doesn't.
Doesn't what?
Yeah,
you said Paul doesn't have his atonement.
Oh, well, that's a mistake.
Peter
doesn't have his salvation, but he did endure it to the end of his life.
Yeah, you just said that, like the Muslims say, renounce Christ to save your life. What they don't understand is since we're sealed, it doesn't matter.
It don't matter. But it matters as a humanistic person, because we want to stay alive. That's why we try to take care of ourselves. But anyway, so it's impossible for Peter to dry cleaners and all that kind of garbage to discredit you, and you can always take it to the bank. You're going to be somebody's going to try to discredit you. I don't care who it is, if it's your family, strangers, whoever you witness to, for the rest of your life once you're saved. Before you get saved, nobody tries to discredit you because Satan loves that. As long as you don't go to a King James Bible believing only assembly and you haven't trusted the gospel of the grace of God, he don't care what gospel you hear. You can walk to aisle for Jesus, get baptized, speak in tongues, anything you want, and he's just overjoyed with it because you're not hearing the truth.
Right.
We don't have a performance-based salvation. They do. Peter and his bunch do. But anyway, goodness gracious. I'm going to tell you about this guy, and then I'm going to quit. I don't want to quit, but I got to quit.
She's hungry. Please feed her.
Otherwise, she's mean.
Yeah.
What's it called, Jerry? Truth Time?
Oh, yeah.
Truth Time Radio.
He is really good.
Truth Time Radio.
I really like him.
Now, Jerry has given me a bunch of CDs to hand out to y'all, and I didn't bring them. We'll do it next week. They're good. Man, Richard listened to some on the way up to Montgomery.
Yeah, he's been talking about it.
I'm going to tell you. The guy was a Baptist, or I think he was a Baptist for probably 35, 40 years. Said he memorized basically the Bible. He knew all these verses. It was a puzzle missing. Or a piece of the puzzle. Not a puzzle, but the piece of the puzzle was missing. This just didn't go with this. He just couldn't understand it. Nobody could explain it to him. And you know what? He preaches exactly what we do. I never seen nobody get so close in my life of preaching what I do. But he found that piece. It was 2 Timothy 2:15 is what he found, which led him over to Ephesians 1:13 when he found out what his gospel of his salvation was.
Yeah.
He got saved.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got that piece now. There's nobody, I don't know who told him about it, but somebody got to him and showed him that. That was what was missing. Because this guy knows the scriptures, don't he, Jerry?
The Holy Spirit showed him.
Well, he did. Oh, that's one. I got to say this now. Let me finish this. TruthTimeRadio.com, Trey Searcy. And he don't beat around the bush with it. Okay? What, hopefully, neither do I.
What does he come on and all that?
No, no, no. Just go to his website.
Oh,
yeah. We'll bring you some CDs. Jerry's already given me a bunch, and if I don't have enough, I'm going to make a bunch more copies. They're fairly short. He's direct to the point.
Actually, TruthTimeRadio.com, you can get copies of any back things.
Right. Now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to actually take some of his services, and I'm going to actually preach them.
All right.
You just go out and listen, though. Download some stuff.
Does he still have an active ministry?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, he ain't got no church, I don't think, does he?
Well, he don't have the church. He did all his ministry over the radio.
Oh, that's awesome, man. I'm telling you. I actually like listening to him probably better than anybody I've ever listened to.
Wow.
It's just so straightforward. Well, I thought I'd ask him, but he doesn't preach at any conference, I believe Jerry said, but I'm going to contact him. And
he actually supports the Trump
Truth Time?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's good. It's good. You know, it's refreshing to hear something like we preach on the radio. And it just really is. I mean, most people, it'll run you off. But anyway, one other thing, and that's this. I think me and Richard was talking about it this week, or at least I was telling him about it, and I think me and Bob might have mentioned it earlier. One thing that we as Christians do, we want people to have the same salvation that we've got. We're so eager to teach them because we have a ministry. It's a ministry of reconciliation. And we preach Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Most people, you can ask the pastor, he ain't got a clue what that is. So if he don't know what it is, how can he preach it? So, but the thing is, we're so eager, and I've spent hours and hours with people. I'm going to back off on that because here's what you've got to realize. The Holy Spirit himself does the convicting. You don't. Get it through your head. It ain't got nothing to do with you or me. We want our relatives and sons and daughters and friends and just strangers saved. So we get out and we tell them Christ was crucified, he was buried, he was resurrected from the dead on the third day for your justification. That's salvation. Trust the Lord. And if they don't just jump right on it, we're out there showing them Ephesians 2:8. This, just God knows you've done bogged them down. They feel like, well, I can't learn that, but they could. If we'll just leave it alone and just ask, would you trust that? And leave it alone and walk away. You can say too much. Believe that the Holy Spirit can work. You know, you're not taking his place. You're not supposed to. You're not a soul winner to begin with. The Holy Spirit's the soul winner. Yes, Bob?
It's the simplicity that is in Christ.
That's the point. We complicate it. We tell them 1,400 scriptures and sit down. You do it, Richard. I do it. We all do it. But don't do it. Just tell them the gospel. Believe that the Holy Spirit can actually do this, his job. You know, and we want to take it to heart and continue to do it. Let's take a break and let's eat.